to the Sportscast December 16th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us there and also visit us on the sportscast.net and also download our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Two nights to the World Cup final, and we're on the eve of the third and fourth place match of the World Cup. And join us today, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. Once again, World Cup final is upon us. It's almost here, and more soccer is to come. That's the good thing. It's not over.
Yeah, and a week from now, it's the Premier League. So soccer jumps back in. Love to see what happens, because the test for this Winter World Cup to work out is, how do the players come back? How do the clubs react after a big tournament, you know? And that'll be the true test, I think. And we'll find out if they'll do another Winter World Cup. What are your thoughts?
Yep, I think you're correct. And my opinion, or how I see it going down, is that players are still going to continue to complain about having to play 3 days regardless, and that they're fatigued and that they need a break. But they would have been playing regardless if there wasn't a World Cup. They would have been playing in their league. So I think they just need to suck it up and play. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the teams that were in these quarterfinals and like on, I think those you might have to eye a little bit. But like, for example, Portugal, you know, a lot of those players have been having like a week and a half off. And then The teams that were playing the groups had 2 weeks off. So in soccer timeline, you should be good in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that way, so now people can't say that some players didn't get breaks, or that, oh, because of the World Cup, is like, there's certain team, not every team's going to make it to the final, so obviously some teams are going to have some time off. So I think people just need to think about what they're saying before they say it, because you're going to answer your own question in your own opinion, because it's like, people don't have anything to stand on when they say, oh, they don't get a break. Well, some players do. A majority of the players do, because only two teams make it to the finals. And that those teams, you know, for those players, you might be able to say, oh, well, they only got a couple days off and then they had to report back. But more than likely, they'll get a break anyways. Like Messi, if he goes back to PSG, they're probably going to give him a break, you know, a week or two. Like, they don't really need him to start every single game week.
Which he does seem like he's suffering from a hamstring injury. We saw him hold his hamstring during the match against Croatia. So we'll see what happens when he comes back to Paris. How long does it take for him to come back on the field? It could be right off the bat, or it could be a couple of weeks or a couple of days. We'll find out. All right. So we had a World Cup panel on Wednesday. It was after the France-Morocco match. Now it's been 2 days. People have been dissecting itself, you know, who's who. Las Vegas has put in their betting numbers in. But Francisco, I would like to hear, because you have a 2 day advantage, by the way, now, because you had time to dream about it and everything. What are your thoughts over this finale on Sunday?
Well, you know, me going into it, I wanted Argentina, Portugal to be the final. So I got half of it correct. So I'll give myself some praise for that. But I can't really be mad at the fact that France made it through. They fooled us a little bit in the group stage. You know, they weren't looking the best, but in game weekend, or game after game, they showed us that they were just going to get the job done. They, you know, weren't the flashiest of teams. They weren't the best of teams, you could even say. You know, maybe in the top five of teams, but, you know, nobody said France, yeah, for sure, one or two. But I think, looking back at it, you know, that France, you know, were just meticulously planning, you know, their strategy and who they were going up against. And I think that, you know, showed all the way through to the final. And I'm excited to see these teams face off. I, more or less, I wanted to see Argentina-Portugal because I wanted Portugal to win and defeat Messi in the final. And that way, Ronaldo could lift the trophy in Messi's face, but that's not going to happen. And if even if Messi wins, though, I'm still not going to call him the GOAT. I think he's still got to win another one, and then we can call him the GOAT. So we'll see. And I'm excited to see, though, this old school versus new school battle, which, you know, Messi versus Mbappe, which, you know, Messi has been playing for, you know, a good 15, 16 years now. And Mbappe, the new guy coming in, I think it's rightfully the soccer gods, I think, have spoken. I think this is the way to a final should be, right, to kind of hand off the torch and be like, here's the new old school generation that's still, you know, kicking butt, and then the new school that's coming in that's matching actually the records that the old generation is putting. So that's exciting to see that these guys are already putting up numbers of them better than what Messi was putting. If I think I saw a comparison of Messi at 23 and Mbappe at 23, and every single number, goals, games, minutes played, Mbappe had beat him at this point at that same age, 23. So I'm excited to see, you know, stat wise and trophy wise, as far as what these players can win, the next generation of football. So I think it's, I'm not going to say a perfect, because not every final was it wasn't the perfect final that I wanted, but it's nearly there. It's almost a perfect final for me.
Yeah. You know, France, everyone was saying, oh, the World Cup curse, don't pick France to go to the final or just win it, I guess. I mean, because the World Cup counts. I mean, the World Cup curse means that you don't get out of the group or you choke or whatever.
Yeah.
But this team looked pretty intact without Benzema, Kante, and Pogba. I have more confidence with France, Francisco. I don't know about you, but they've kind of smooth sail through this World Cup, don't you agree?
Oh yeah, they definitely have planned, I guess planned their way through this World Cup. I think all everything has been super thoughtful from their end. So all that is credit to, I think, Deschamps, their manager, who's, you know, he just has a winning mentality. He's a winner himself, winning titles, league titles, and winning at the managerial and international level. I mean, he's already got a World Cup, so he's definitely got the experience. And I think that's the main reason why he succeeded, because he's already been here. And there's no need to rush, and there's no need to overwork yourself, because you know, you, as long as you win in your strategy and you make it work out in the scoreline, then that's what matters, and that's what France has been doing. And a lot of those players were there in the last World Cup as well. So all of that in itself, I think it adds up to the perfect recipe, and not a lot of people saw it coming, myself included. And so, yeah, you got to give them a lot of praise for that.
Argentina, though, started off pretty bad. They lost against Saudi Arabia, which that was the only 3 points for them. But Argentina woke up. They beat your Mexico. They beat Poland. The match against Australia, they weren't looking that good, but they beat them 2-1. Netherlands, they were up 2-0, but the Netherlands came back and tied and then went to penalty kick shootouts. But I think the game that went into full fruition for Argentina was Croatia. What were your thoughts over their path to the finale?
Yeah, I think I would agree with you that it's, you know, the first loss against Saudi Arabia, that just made them look really bad. But there was a lot of other surprises as well. So I think that it was bad. But then the fact that other teams lost, other big teams as well lost, and it kind of diminished, you know, how bad of a loss it really was. Because to me, that looked really, really bad. I was like, oh, they're going to get out at the group stage. But just like France, Argentina also planned, and I think that they were able to break down their opponents in matches and match them in lineups, in effort, in recovering, and basically every category they were able beat their opponents. And I think that just shows also to their experience, you know, with the fact of having, you know, Messi at the front, as, you know, as the captain, as the guy who always wants to win, you know, just like Ronaldo, they're the same person, you know, they just want to win and they don't care how it happens. And if you're not that type of, if you don't have that type of personality or that type of, that ego, as some would call it, then, you know, he doesn't want anything to do with you. So I think the Messi and then the players that surround him in Argentina and the players that get called up are influenced by him essentially, or there's the players that he wants to play with and the players that he thinks he's are going to get him to win a title. And, you know, it's taken a long time to get here. You know, Messi has failed with Argentina before, so I think that's also something that's been building up, is that they've needed to win, you know, for Messi, or, you know, you could say the same thing about Portugal, you know, they need a win for Ronaldo. But I think Argentina, like I said, they planned it very well. And a lot of times we saw them, you know, making changes to their lineup, making changes in the formation as well. And so, yeah, lots of good experienced players at Argentina, and it's just going to be a, like I said, nearly perfect matchup, and it's hard to pick who's going to win. But I think France needs to do it just because of what that would mean, you know, the back-to-back World Cups.
Yeah, the consecutive, which has not happened since 1958 and 62 when Brazil won it. Something that France could accomplish. And I was funny, Francisco, because I was looking at the past World Cups of 20 years, and France have been, I think, to 4 out of 6 of them. Like, they only missed the 2014 and 10, and then obviously 2002, but, you know, going back to back 18 and now 22, and then back in 1998, that's pretty impressive. What are the key players for France? I know that Fofana replaced Rabiot because of illness, but who is the key player for France to guarantee their third World Cup win?
I think there's only one player you can choose. It has to be Mbappe. I know Giroud has been mainly the guy scoring or making the headlines because he scored in very crucial moments. But Mbappe is the difference maker. He's the guy who always gets the ball. He's the guy who's, you know, if they're down 2-1 or if they're down at all, like that, the ball is going to more than likely go through Mbappe's feet at some point. He's just so dangerous, so fast, so skillful. There's no defender that can stop him right now. Like there's no fullbacks, there's no center backs, there's no goalkeeper that can stop Mbappe. Like there's just defensively no one can stop him. And so to me, that's their biggest difference maker. And I've heard that there's been illness that's been hindering the team. So we'll see.
Konate was the third guy have illness. I think I also heard Varane.
Yeah, Varane. So hopefully that doesn't affect you know, the rest of the squad. We'll see what they're doing as far as, like, are they isolating or, you know, whatever, because, you know, you don't want to spread it to your other teammates, not because of health reasons. I mean, it's the World Cup, you know, so all these players want to play, and if they're being told, hey, you're sick, you can't play, I feel like that's kind of a little unfair. Like, if there's stuff that they could give them, you know, to be able to run through, you know, or get themselves some minutes on the field. Is that going to be worth it in the end? You know, a sick Varane and a sick Konate versus a fully healthy bench player. We'll see. But I just hope that doesn't spread to the other players and affect them, because that wouldn't be good. But, hey, Michael Jordan won with the flu. So
I was about to say that he won a sick game. Which apparently he had the stomach flu. So that was, which is probably worse than the flu, I think. So, yeah, as Francisco said, I think these players will play as much as they can, or they will make themselves starters unless Varane and Konate are not winners, but they want to play this match. And I agree. I think Mbappe is key for the squad. I mean, some people say that if Benzema was in the squad, Mbappe couldn't be himself. What are your thoughts over that?
I don't think that's true, because we've seen Benzema transform into this, you know, Benzema 2.0, 3.0, whatever you call him, you know, at Madrid when Ronaldo left. Like, they didn't just need a goal scorer, because Ronaldo was a goal scorer, but he was also a player who provided a lot of different ways to start a buildup, start an attack, you know, because of his dribbling, because of his passing, because of his vision. And so Benzema had to basically grow and be that player. And so I think he's more of a team player now. So I think if anything, Mbappe would be better if Benzema was there, because I think Giroud is not the same type of player as Benzema. Giroud is kind of expecting and waiting for the ball more. So Mbappe has to do a little bit more passing and kind of think about that, as far as, hey, there's a guy waiting for me to score as well. As much as I want to score, there's also going to be another guy who could possibly score as well. So I think if Benzema was starting and he was here, he would actually help Mbappe be better.
And apparently France is not getting to third gear in this World Cup. So we'll see what happens. And Benzema's not coming, even though I guess he was allowed to come, but someone said not to go. Who knows?
Yeah, I feel like that probably would have been unfair to the other French players, which is maybe why he didn't do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would have done it if I was him. I would have been selfish.
Exactly. Let's look at Argentina. Acuña from Seville was suspended for the semi. I know match against Croatia. Tagliafico started in place of him. Some say he had a better game than Acuña. But what are your thoughts over this Argentinian squad? Who is the key player or key players that could get them that trophy?
Well, I think everybody's easy answer is Messi for this question, which, I mean, it is pretty obvious. But from, especially after watching the Croatia game, I think the key player is Alvarez. I think he showed that he can step up and be that striker that Argentina need. When, you know, if you have five or six players around Messi, yeah, he might be able to get through them, you know, once or twice. But, you know, the whole game, you know, especially after you know, 60 minutes, you know, a fatigued player he's going to be dragging legs a little bit more. So when you've got a guy who's covered by four or five guys, you know, there has to be another guy, you know, stepping up that's going to be wide open. And Alvarez has done that pretty much the whole tournament. And I think he's put himself on the map as far as when City, you know, bought him, when Pep asked for him and they got their guy. I think a lot of the media, especially in the English media, you know, they're very critical. And it's like, well, why'd they pay so much money for this guy? Like, who is he? We've never heard of him. He came from, you know, South America. But now he put himself on the map and he's probably doubled his price, you know, as far as transfers. Like, if someone wants him, I mean, that's if City even want to let him go. Like, good luck with that. So it's a little more recency bias, I feel like, because, you know, I'm basing it a lot of, especially off the Croatia game. Like, he played a near perfect game and, you know, you saw how the ball was just sticking to him. Like, he just looked like a natural striker. So I think, yeah, for me, it's going to be Alvarez, the key player.
Yeah. I would say a couple players that I thought that have done well for Argentina, the key players, I keep saying these three names, De Paul, Messi, Alvarez, and now Enzo. I think Enzo definitely has had a good tournament. McAllister as well. McAllister, yeah, kind of came out of nowhere. You know, playing for a small club in Brighton, a small club, I say, you know, in quotations, but which actually, by the way, Argentina does have a MLS player in there. So there is hope for MLS players to make it onto the Argentina squad. But yeah, I think the Argentina squad is probably the best. I think the squad is delivering for Messi. The previous Argentinian teams just did not deliver for him. And I believe he said that explicitly too. I think, yeah.
Well, he left. Remember, he quit the whole national team.
Did it back after the Copa Centenario back in 16.
Yeah. He just left his teammates out to dry and basically said they're not good enough to play with me.
Yeah. So the finale, obviously, we'll go more into like the later predictions, but how much does this mean to Messi, Francisco? It feels like a lot of weight's on him right now, but is it kind of like his career is all on the line this Sunday?
I wouldn't say it's on the line because people have been and are calling him the GOAT already. And so I don't think it's gonna matter as far as his fans and his fan base. He obviously will gain more followers, you know, and there will be more talks about how, oh, he's better than Ronaldo now and he's gonna have the one up, you know, and Ronaldo fans are not gonna have anything to argue against that because Ronaldo hasn't won one. So I don't think that much is on the line for me. It is, because I already haven't been calling him the GOAT, but you know, if he does win, like I said, I would want him to win another one and then I could call him. But he might not be old enough, or he might be too old for the next World Cup to try to win another one back to back.
He did say this past couple of days that this will be his he won't be playing any more World Cups after this.
Yeah, which I mean that makes sense for his age, and I think he's also kind of maybe felt that they were going to make it to the final, and maybe that's why he's already made up his mind that this either I win it or I lose it. But you know, it was a good battle, you know, to get there, because he's already named, you know, the GOAT by some people. So I think he's already earned it, you know, from his fan base. So it's not really gonna be too much of a factor, you know, as far as the people that are already backing him. But for those that aren't on the train, I think there'll be a lot more people jumping on it, on the Messi bandwagon after if he wins.
Everyone's bringing up Ronaldo and Messi, and that Messi has overshadowed Ronaldo. And I think that's just a little bit unfair, to be honest. I think Ronaldo has done a lot of stuff, but yeah, it would tip the debate, the conversation, if he wins the World Cup, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think it'll tip the scale. And like I said, if people are going to use that, the debate is no longer going to be, oh, is Messi better than Ronaldo because of this reason? It's going to be, oh, well, he won a World Cup, so he's better than Ronaldo.
Yeah.
That's plain and simple. That's just going to be the easy way to shut down the opposing crowd, which for the most part is going to be Ronaldo fans. So it's just going to be bias at that point, you know. Well, I like this player and I don't like this player.
Which he was training at the Real Madrid training facilities this past week in the meantime until he finds that new club. I don't know what's the status on Al Saad, the Saudi Arabian club. I don't think he wants to go there, but he may have no option.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't have any other options, then, you know, why say no to 200 million euros or whatever they're offering him? Like I said, I think he's said that he wants to go to a team that's fighting for Champions League. I think he should just go to the French league and tear up the records there, and then finally just, you know, he dominated every single league in Europe, and that could be a counter argument to Messi winning a World Cup. Well, did Messi dominate all the leagues? No, he only dominated one league.
You don't think Florentino will have him back at Madrid, right?
No, not while as a player. There. Not as a player. I don't think he's. I mean, in my opinion, he should have never left. He should have just still been at Madrid.
He didn't have the option to stay, right?
Yeah, he did. He just didn't take it. I think the amount of money that was offered to him, he didn't like, because he felt that he had contributed more than what they were willing to pay, which, I mean, at that point, that would have been his second renewal, I think. Yeah, second renewal. But I think it just financially didn't make sense for Madrid, especially when, you know, you've got all kinds of new players coming up every year, every generation. you know, there was already the new generation that was coming up. Asensio, you know, was putting pressure on there. And, you know, if we have a young player that we can just, you know, renew his contract and offer him, you know, double of what he's making, but that's not even like a third of what Ronaldo's making, then that makes sense. So it's all these different factors that took in the consideration, that was taken into consideration with Ronaldo. And I think also the whole, you know, the taxes and everything in Spain, like that also had a big factor or effect on it, because, you know, after you play in Spain for 5 years, I think your taxes double essentially on your salary. So, you know, making $100 million, you know, in a contract, and then you get taxed on top of that, which the team pays. I mean, you know, financially, did that make sense, you know, for Madrid? So, unfortunate situation, you know, that happened. And I'm still not over that. Like, I don't think I'll ever will get over it. Yeah. But, you know, that's the way that the cookie crumbled. So I can't really, I had no say in it. I obviously, you know, I'm not a Madrid executive.
Florentino's not calling you.
He's not calling me up for my opinion. But well, if he called me though, I would have been honest with him. I would have told him, sign him whatever it takes. It doesn't matter. It would have been worth it.
We'll see where the Ronaldo saga continues. But before that, obviously, let's go into the third and fourth third and fourth place match between Croatia and Morocco, which the third and fourth place match, to be honest, it's either one team scoring a lot of goals and some other, and then the other team not caring. But what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what the third place game does, or happens in the third place game. So I think Croatia, after, you know, all the hard work from not just this World Cup, but the previous one, and all the work that they did to, you know, get to this point, I think it's time for them to kind of, you know, pump the brakes and just relax. And so, you know, the third place for Morocco, I think that would be the sort of the cherry on top for them, you know, because of how hard they played and how well they played against, you know, some pretty big teams. You know, they made it, you know, further than anybody thought they were going to make it. And so I think that's exactly what's going to happen, is that Morocco is going to be the team that's trying. And I don't know if they're going to score a bunch of goals, but I think Morocco is going to look on the field and play like they want it more. And I think that's what's going to win them third place. I mean, Croatia deserve it, but I just, like, does third place really matter? Like, not that much, you know? So I don't think they need to try. And I think there'll probably be a lot of changes in Croatia's starting lineup. Probably not a lot of the starters. I don't, maybe probably not even Modric. But
which
we'll see.
Be his last World Cup match. Both teams will get medals, so not just one team that wins the match, but also the fourth place team. So I wish it should just be the third place, and the fourth might win a certificate. I don't know, whatever.
Give him a piece of paper.
So you got Morocco. I think Morocco does want to leave with a bang. I think I'll probably go with Morocco. Then the finale, final prediction. Francisco has hinted what he what's going to happen. What is your prediction and your score for the finale, Argentina versus France?
Yeah, I've kind of been hinting at it a little bit. I think the France back-to-back win is more meaningful than Messi getting his World Cup so that he can be called the GOAT. So I want France to win. And I think France are going to do it. I think they're going to shut down Argentina. I think that they're finally going to put Argentina in their place and be like, hey, you guys are getting too ahead of yourselves, too cocky. Just like happened to Brazil, you know, with their dancing and being like, hey, this is part of our culture. Hey, well, these guys were out here celebrating like they were already, they had won it. And look what happened to them. So I think Argentina has been kind of trying to flex on all the teams and being like, yeah, we're the best. But I think France is going to show them. who's the boss in town. So I'm going to go with the France 2-0 prediction.
That's a pretty solid prediction. That could very well happen. And the Golden Boot, there's four players vying for the Golden Boot this weekend. Hyundai, Mbappe and Messi have 5 goals. Julian Alvarez and Giroud has 4 goals. Who will win the Golden Boot?
Golden Boot, I think I'm going to say Mbappe scores both of those goals in the 2-0 prediction. So Mbappe wins the Golden Boot and cements his spot as the territory, or I don't know how to say, but he's claiming his place in soccer history and being like, the new generation is here and is here to stay.
Yep. The torch has been passed. I got France as well winning, Francisco. I'm thinking 2-0 or 3-1. I think France has the edge, has the roster to do it. Even with their bench players. So I'm picking France. I know it'd be great to have met. I mean, either way, it's both win-win. You know, France winning back-to-back, first time since Brazil back in 58-62. And, of course, Messi winning it, you know, for the first time, maybe the greatest player of all time. But I got France winning it. And the Golden Boot, I guess I'll just have to pick Mbappe, but maybe it's fair. Maybe Messi scores and wins it. And then he doesn't win the World Cup, but wins the Golden Boot.
maybe.
So, anyways, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. my time, 7 in the morning, West Coast. That's pretty decent time for you guys to get up to watch a finale. It is the game. I think this is one of the best finals in a while. I know Argentina, Germany back in 14 was pretty good. 2010, 2018. It was not a good final. It was France just beating up on Croatia. It was like 4-1, wasn't it?
Yep. That's pretty much what it was. Yep.
Yeah. So this is a true test of two great teams, and we'll see what happens. All right. Well, Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about who's the next Mexican manager?
Yep. That's a question that a lot of people have been asking, myself as well. But if you want to talk Mexico or Ronaldo, Messi versus Ronaldo World Cup, the best place to reach me is Twitter at FranciscoBCP. And I've got other social media, but Twitter is the best place.
Twitter is the best place. You can also find us on Twitter, the SportsCast1 and the sportscast.net. We'll be live tweeting the finale. Third and fourth place match, not so much. Maybe some key highlights. But this is it. Messi versus Mbappe. And Lionel getting his first World Cup. France getting their, maybe their back-to-back. And getting that third chip. That third chip, because there's no one country that has three cups. Either you have 5-4 or 2-1. There's no three. So France is trying to step over, trying to make history, and we'll see what happens. You can follow it here on the Sportscast. Well, anyways, Francisco Flores, I appreciate you coming on. This is our final episode of our World Cup coverage.
Final episode.
4 weeks in a row. It's been a blast. I had a great time with all of you guys equally. And I'm glad we did have this head up, the schedule, because it was good, evened out. And man, it was it felt more than a month, didn't it?
Yeah, it's felt like it's been a little bit longer. You know, it was nice to get back into the podcasting as well. Haven't been doing this in a while. I'm a little rusty, but
it's nice
to talk soccer and shoot the shit, as they say.
Exactly. No, and you'll be back for the Champions League, which kicks back in February. So one tournament at the after the other. So we'll for sure have you back on. Sportscast covers the Champions League every year, so looking forward to that. Anyways, it's time to lift a gold cup, and this was your World Cup update coverage.